Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's Cash 'em.
That is so good. That's exactly right.
Or Trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a killer bees.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
But he's going to show the hernia.
All right, that's very good. Cash him or trash him. Sports hernias.
Taylor Rome just showed a picture of Martin Maldonado with a hospital smock on it. It says, Maldi had surgery to repair his sports hernia. Good thing they didn't show the sports hernia. Thanks, Chandler.
I think my favorite thing was just that hernia. That was the very first word that introduced the segment.
Well, there you go.
Cash it or trash it. First time Martin Maldonado leads off
cash
anything.
Cash it or trash it. Martin Maldonado's ready to take more balls and strikes.
Lead us off, Blankers. Lead us off with your non-sports hernia takes.
Non-sports hernia, but sports. The first win for new Colts coach Jeff Saturday will start a new way of thinking in the NFL, and now experience will not be necessary when putting out a wanted sign for employment at the head coaching position.
Say less, cash him. Like,
this feels familiar. As long as he keeps winning, it may continue to come back again.
I've never liked Jim Irsay more. Like, I'm dead honest. Like, I've been craving for this to happen in the NFL ever since Josh McCown came up on the coaching search 2 years ago. Because, look, I didn't want the Texans to hire Josh McCown. I know I've defended it. I know I've advocated it. But he was third on my most recent coaching carousel list for the Houston Texans. That said, I think the entire logic of, first-time head coaches that have zero coaching experience are not cut out for this. They can't do this. They're going to be awful at it. I think that is silly. I think it's this whole antiquated, we've never done this before, so it can't be the way we do things. I think that it can work. I don't think the Colts roster is built for like all of this success, but I think Jeff Saturday handled his first game really, really well. They won. His game management was outstanding. He handled press conferences really well. Look, I don't know if it, like, yeah, I'm cashing. Give me all the Jeff Saturdays in the world.
I have seen a lot of victory laps by people who are supporting Jeff Saturday this week. Mm-hmm. Can we acknowledge?
Yes, we can.
They played the Raiders.
That they got a win over the Raiders.
In Las Vegas, on the road. He led his troops to battle away from home and got a victory.
Over a winless team. They had three wins. Like, they were probably going to be a 6 or 7 win team this year already. Trash them because I need to see more.
That's fair.
And maybe we will. I just don't think this is that big of a deal.
One game sample is way too short.
I say trash it again for the same reason. I want to see more. And I am pulling for him. I know you said this, you've been very big on this.
Huge.
I think he's a... And someone said it, and it made me think. Like, everybody has someone that hates them, and we see it daily. But I think that Irsay or somebody else said, there's not a single guy that crosses Saturday's path and meets him and isn't like a fan of his. Watching the post game in the locker room, seeing the way from a veteran perspective, he taught them about getting a win and getting the extra day off as a way of he rewarding his team. Look, if it's a head coach that's calling offensive or defensive plays, it's a lot more complicated. It's a different story.
Yeah.
If you can grasp the concept, and it's not as simple as you made it out to be about just press conferences and things like that, but you're right. It's the in-game management. It's the headsets. It's the challenges. It's timeouts. It's a clock man. All those different things. But the thing is that some guys just have it in their DNA to be a leader. He seems like he's one of those guys. I hate this in the NBA. I hate it. Mm-hmm. I hate when you just take an ex-point guard and say, here, you're suited to be a head coach in the NBA, because I don't think that they're ready for it. But I hope he continues to win, because it's an interesting conversation for other teams to look at.
This is a conversation that, I know we have to move, Brennan, but this is a conversation that triggers me and I'm very passionate about. Because everybody talks about the resume, that you got to do it for the longest times. If you're the hiring manager, you hired the very best person for the job, regardless of what the resume is telling
you. Let's also think of the situation, too, Jeremy. This isn't starting the year where you're hyper, every win's important. This is, hey, at this point, what do we got to lose?
Exactly.
Let's throw them out there and see what we got.
The situation was ideal to do it, absolutely. All right, here's mine. NFC, cash them or trash them, the Minnesota Vikings are the best team in the NFC.
Trash.
Who's better?
Trash.
Who's better?
I think there's plenty of teams that will show
Name
at the end of the season
one.
They're better.
The Eagles.
I think the Eagles.
Yeah, they're so good that they lost to the Commanders yesterday.
It was the first loss of the season.
Vikings have one loss.
Let me look at the Vikings schedule. Of the good teams they've played, look at who was out when they played them. The fact that
who missed games for Buffalo that this week?
Well, I mean, Josh Allen wasn't completely 100%, but look, that was
a
fluky
Buffalo.
But that was a fluky game. They got their doors blown off by the Eagles. So if you go by head-to-head of the two top teams in the NFC, I'd already see the Eagles are better. But I think that a lot is still to be decided. Kirk Cousins is still their quarterback. That's scary. Jefferson is unbelievable.
Yeah, he's good.
And Dalvin Cook and all the complimentary pieces they have on offense and defense, a lot of veterans on defense. They're a really damn good football team. And everything, like I said, the moon and the stars have lined up for them. But I will trash it because I got to see more of them against good teams.
I'm more open to the possibility today than I was on Saturday before this game. That being said, I still think the Eagles are the better team. We have a head-to-head to work with. I agree with Joel.
That was week two.
I agree with Joel.
2 months ago.
I think that was really fluky. I can't.
But it was also fluky that they lost the game first. Like, that Kirk Cousins sneak up the middle, he might have been in. You know what I mean? Like, it was fluky both ways.
Yeah.
It was fluky both ways.
That's what I said. It was just a fluky game overall, how everything played out. But I think those are two good football teams. At the end of the day, though, Kirk Cousins is still the quarterback. If Jeremy has like 18 chains on and his shirt off and he's doing all this at the end of the year, then he was right.
I would do numbers if
I'm just
did that,
trashing it until I see more of them playing against good football
teams. I'm trashing it for now, too.
So who's
I'm
your best? You said y'all are saying Eagles are the best team?
Right
that's
now.
Why you're trashing
right now,
Eagles?
Right now.
Okay. All right, Brendan, what you got?
The Browns will be a top 10 pick. And I know Jeremy hates this.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this team's not very good. I get that they're without a quarterback.
Tell them the schedule, Brendan.
I mean, they have some easier wins, but they got the Bills up next. No way the Bills are dropping to third.
Yeah, but you always said the Bills were lousy because they lost to Minnesota.
Those words were never said. Then they play the Buccaneers, who I know haven't been the same team this year.
They're playing better, too.
Yep. And that's still before you get Deshaun Watson back, so that's two losses. That puts them at 8. Then it gets a little bit softer. They have the Texans, Bengals. But I'm going to give them a loss to the Bengals. I'm going to give them a loss to the Ravens.
Chase may be back for that Bengals game.
That puts them at 10 losses if they lose the four that I would have them at. Now,
I like it.
They wrap up with Saints, Commanders, Steelers. They could absolutely win that out. I think there's going to be a level of rust on Deshaun Watson.
I do too.
I think it's crazy to think Deshaun Watson is going to come back and be at the peak of his game.
Everybody that anointed him a top 10 quarterback the minute he steps back on the field, I think is nuts. I think there's a level of seeing what he still has. Because there is something about the time he's had off, but also can he regain where he once was?
They're not a threat for a top 5 pick, but in a season where you already have 9 teams at 3 wins, I think you're going to be picking in the top 10 if you get to 5 or maybe even 6.
I'm cashing
them. Here's the pushback. Here's the pushback that I have with Deshaun. Like, what game is his rust costing them? Because, like, you're already accounting them to lose at Cincy. You're already accounting them to lose against Baltimore.
He's got them beaten, possibly. Oh, no, he's got them beaten Cincinnati.
No, I don't think he did. At Cincinnati? Yeah. No, he's shaking his head no.
Oh, I thought you said that was the game that they were going to win.
I'm giving them the Texans win.
Yeah.
And then they play Saints, Commanders, Steelers.
So you're giving them those
three
teams
laying down at that point.
I think 4 is the ceiling.
But that's kind of my point about Deshaun. Is like I agree that he's going to have a level of rust. I don't think his level of rust is going to have the Browns losing a game that you currently have in them projected to win.
I think they could drop one of the last 3.
I think the key is actually the next 2 weeks before they get Deshaun. If they can split at Buffalo, home for Tampa Bay, I don't think they get to the 10 losses. I think actually I'm going to cash them. I have the Browns going 7-10. Does 7-10 give me a top 10 pick?
I think it has you very close. I don't know if it gets you quite there.
If 7-10 gives me a top 10 pick for Cleveland, I'm cashing.
I think it probably puts you between 10 to 15 this year. So
regardless of the next 2 games, I'm cashing them as a top 10 pick.
Cash them as a top 10. Do you think they get to 7 wins?
It's going to be a struggle.
Yeah,
I'm
might
putting
be.
Them at 6.
All right. 6 should get you top 10.
I think it will.
You got a lot of veterans on that roster, and when veterans start thinking that they're not going to make the playoffs, they stop playing as hard as they normally do.
My hiney hurts from this fence I'm sitting on. 7-10.
What, the quarterback of the Washington team?
No, why did you have to make that a Deshaun Watson pun? What's your second
one,
Blank? Your second one.
The quarterback of the Washington team, hiney.
Give me your second one. Oh, okay. I guess I took it there.
Yeah.
What's your second one, Blankers?
The second one is Jalen Green is ready to be anointed as a superstar in this league. I see so many people that are talking about his 20 and 30 point games. So many people that are stacking and racking his stats without looking at how it equates to the team, the way the team functions, the wins and losses, and the other things that go along with it. I see a guy that's still raw, a guy that's still about himself, a guy that still hasn't learned the concepts on offense and defense that where I'm at, I think we've seen progress, which is fantastic. But for me to say what a lot of people want to say already, that he's a star in this league and a superstar, and he's one, I'm not there yet. I'm trashing that.
I think if you go like superstar right now, I'm trashing him. budding superstar, I'm cashing him. Like, he's been really good last six games. He scored 20 points in each of the last six games. His efficiency's been good. His shooting has been very good. And he's starting to pass the ball a little bit more, too. He's averaging almost five assists in the last six. I'm trashing the current star. I'm cashing the budding star.
Okay.
I do think that there are elements of winning.
I think he's going to develop into
I think he's pretty close.
Star. But I think right now, and like I said, I think a lot of it has to do with the way he's being coached.
Sure, that matters. It might take a change there for that to happen. But I'm cashing him, sort of.
I'm not all the way locked into the Rockets right now, but I'm going to cash him because playing selfish doesn't mean you're not a superstar in the NBA. You can absolutely be a selfish superstar in the NBA, and what he's doing right now is good enough for me to put him there.
Yeah. So was that a trash him or a cash him?
That's a cash him.
All right, very good. So it sounds like we got a cash him and a half out of that one. All right, this one might be too easy for you guys. Rams are toast. They lose Cooper Kupp. They're 3-6 in a competitive NFC. The LA Rams, defending
Matt
Super
Stafford
Bowl champions.
Still their quarterback?
Yeah, they're toast.
Howie Boyle's that tells me they've went through 12 linemen this year, and that's extraordinarily high. I'm definitely thinking the Rams have decided to mail it. Here's the thing. It would be nice if they were playing for draft picks. They've given them all away. So I don't know what they're playing for, but I don't think it's a playoff spot. I think the Rams have conceded. They were all in and sold out for a title. They got it this year due to injuries and otherwise.
Can they Can they dust off those shirts that say those draft picks?
Are they? Yeah, right.
I'm not going to wear those.
They're still
going
to use the draft house on the beach in Manhattan Beach or wherever they have their draft facilities at when they rent that house out.
Yeah,
they're just not going to have anybody to pick.
I think you're probably still okay with trading your draft picks and getting a Super Bowl last year. But yeah, this is the easiest cash them. Jeremy didn't try very hard on this one.
I mailed it in.
The Rams might be a top 10 pick. Honestly, like with Cooper Kupp gone,
possible.
They put him on the IR today.
Listen to that Lion fan over there.
The Lions have that pick?
And they do.
Yeah.
They put Cooper Kupp on the IR today. Where is this team getting offense? They've had no run game all year. Cooper Kupp's the only
Cam
receiver
Akers
who's
is part
done
of the
anything.
Run game. He wants out.
Ben Skowronek is going to be the most valuable offensive piece this team has.
What's Todd Gurley up to these days?
Yeah, he might be better than anyone else
retired.
Who came back.
Yeah.
Bring him back. Bring him out of retirement.
I mean, that was
those
the worst thing. Did
knees.
You see that? This year, about week four, he officially retired. I mean, I'm sorry. Did anybody believe he was coming back? No.
He wasn't retired. He was out of the league.
Yeah, he was done.
What's yours, Brendan?
The in-the-hunt list in the NFL is going to include 20-plus teams.
Ooh.
As we're into December in the NFL this year. There's really, I think right now there's like four teams out of the playoff
Are
race.
The Browns in this
many.
Mix?
Will they be in December?
Are,
no,
are the
currently
Colts,
they are.
Is Jeff Saturday's Colts in this mix?
Yes.
I think so, too.
I think they might be.
I'm cashing them. That seventh playoff spot keeps everybody in the hunt.
This is exactly what the NFL did this for.
It keeps
everybody
in the hunt.
Every bit of it.
If you're around 500, you're going to be in the hunt with a month left to play.
And particularly this year, because 5-4 is the... I'm going into this week, I think below 500 was a playoff spot in the NFC.
Yeah, it's
a
not wild anymore. Card spot. And now it's 500. But it's still, if you're 500, you're in the playoffs. Last year, 9-8 for the Eagles got to be. If you're around 500 with three games left to play, you're in the playoff hunt. I'm cashing them. I think this is a good one.
This just made the last 2 weeks of the NFL regular season entirely more interesting. This is exactly what the NFL signed up for, and this is exactly why I'm cashing it, too. There's no doubt that all these teams... Look, I root for one that was a game and a half out of a playoff spot a week ago and now is a game out or less. I think that this is exactly why they did what they did, and I'm cashing it.
Yeah, sounds very good. What are you cashing and trashing? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. The Astros are making eyes with a Yankee. They're making eyes with Anthony Rizzo. Is he the target that GM Jim Crane should be targeting? Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, tell you about someone you can cash in and know that your money is going to be taken care of while your business, in terms of what you need done with your roof and other projects, is going to be done the right way. It's Fitz Roofing, FITZ Roofing.com. Check out all the different ways that they have services that can help you. It starts, obviously, with the name roofing. Leaky roof, new roof, business, commercial development, your own house at home. They can do all those things. And the best thing about the way they do it is they are so confident in their abilities. They know that they got the ratings and the warranties and the products. They just need you to sign on the dotted line and believe in them too. They're going to come to you and give you a free no obligation inspection. Most companies charge you a $75 to $100 service fee to come out and see what's going on. Some try to rope it back into you actually signing on to have them do the work. And maybe you don't want someone that's unreliable and doesn't have the same kind of resources that Fitz does. Fitz takes care of that for you. All you do is call them, 832-521-3001. They're going to come out, see what you got going on, tell you how they can help. If you want him to do the job, believe me, best in the business. When I say five-star ratings and the best ratings on Facebook, Home Advisor, and otherwise, I'm not lying. When I tell you about their warranties and the fact that they're going to take care of their service after the sale, I believe it because I've seen it. They are going to take care of you every step of the way. Corey's not only the owner of the company, he's the vice president of the Houston Roofing Association. You don't get those accolades, those kind of titles, and that kind of recognition from your peers unless you know what you're doing. Check him out today, FITZRoofing.com, or call him for that free no-obligation inspection, 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Anthony Rizzo, according to Ken Rosenthal, is the top target for the Houston Astros. Well, we think that the Astros need two bats, a first baseman, and then a left field slash DH. Anthony Rizzo, according to Rosenthal, the top target for the Houston Astros. How do you feel about this report from Rosenthal?
Well, as I always start with my precursor to anything is, it depends on the price. But other than that, I love this. And you know this. I've said this to you multiple times. I would love Anthony Rizzo in this lineup in an Astros uniform for the next 2 to 3 years simply because of the fact that he is a major, he is a power hitter, which you always say a first baseman should have the ability and possess power. I think his average is less than stellar, at least as it relates to last year, but I think that was part of the culture of being in the big bopper lineup in New York. Mm-hmm. But by eliminating the shift, by understanding in the middle of a lineup where he's going to see better pitches when you've got Yordan and Tucker and Bregman and Altuve and all the hitters that the Astros have, and I think seeing the winning culture up close, knowing how volatile New York can be, and understanding Aaron Judge could be playing elsewhere, and even if he doesn't, his price tag is going to basically compromise their ability to get World Series caliber better. I think that for all those reasons and more, if I'm Anthony Rizzo and I experienced winning once in my career in Chicago as well, I could see a lot of situations that'd be a lot worse than signing up for the Astros. Depending on the price, I'd love to have Anthony Rizzo in this lineup.
Price always matters, of course. I've been pretty, I guess, consistent with the idea of I'm not too picky at first base as long as you upgrade at first base. The three that jump out to me are Rizzo, Abreu, Josh Bell. Yep. I prefer Abreu to Rizzo. You know, right-handed versus left-handed, whatever. Batting average for Abreu's better, but you mentioned the shift will be gone for Rizzo, which, I mean, that's advantage Rizzo. Rizzo hits for more power at this stage of their career. Abreu had a pretty significant drop-off, but, like, some of the advanced numbers, the projected numbers, like that he will be able to rebound. But, I mean, he's 36 years old. I think that Rizzo is probably a slightly better player at this state. At this stage,
I think he's a better defender
than Jose Abreu. He's a better defender. That's not up for debate. Mm-hmm. Rizzo's much better defender than Jose Abreu. No, I don't think Abreu's bad, but Rizzo's top. Yes. Like, Rizzo's pretty close to elite level defensively. There won't be much of a drop off from like a scoop perspective.
No, it's going to be hard to Rizzo to people who accept replacing Yuli. But if you get a guy that's a good defensive first baseman, that helps.
And Rizzo's got more range than Yuli. The scoops are about the same, which Yuli was the very, very best. Rizzo's probably like second best in baseball. The reason that I give Abreu the slight lean over Rizzo is that Abreu doesn't have the qualifying offer. And I know that that's not like a huge difference, because if they sign Rizzo today, I'd be like, oh, that's great. That's awesome. I'm all on board for Rizzo. But I give the slight preference to Abreu. And Rosenthal said that the Astros are kicking the tires on Abreu and Yuli, by the way, as well. So I would prefer Abreu. The qualifying offer, you lose a second-round draft pick, which, I mean, not too punitive, but the Astros haven't had, you know, their full allotment of picks the last couple of years. Well, the 1 year, they didn't have their first or second. And then you also lose international money. So, like, if you sign Rizzo, you're also signing Rizzo over Abreu, a second-round pick, and maybe an international free agent. So I concede that Rizzo is probably slightly better than Abreu, but whenever I have the other two things, second-rounder, international money, I give a slight edge to Jose Abreu.
I think on the flip side, too, the argument to go to Rizzo, though, is the fact that Abreu's price tag is probably going to be significantly higher.
Abreu than Rizzo?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think so. I think Rizzo's going to get paid way more.
The numbers of the projections I saw from ESPN had Abreu more closer to like 17, 18, 19, 20.
Rizzo's been offered the qualifying offer for 19 and a half, and he rejected it.
I saw two.
Actually, I don't know if he's rejected it yet. I think he's on the table.
I saw two. I think the projection for at ESPN had for Rizzo was like 2 and 28.
That's odd to me. Why would he turn down $19.5 million for 1 year for 2 years, 28.
I'm sure he's looking for long-term security.
Give me 19 and a half for one over, 28 for two.
And that's fine. I'm just going by what I read, and I'm trying to remember all the different names I looked at. But I think that, you know, price matters. I think Abreu is going to be – I thought he would have a steeper price tag, but I would love Anthony Rizzo. I'm a big fan of him in the clubhouse. Everybody sees he says he's a great dude. He's a smart, intelligent baseball mind. I just think that would be a great, great upgrade at first base.
I just pulled one up real quick. MLB Trade Rumors has projections for theirs. They had Anthony Rizzo 2 years, $36 million. So, I mean, it's $18 million AAV. I would do that if I'm the Astros. I would do – I mean, he's sacrificing a little bit for the 1 year, getting the guarantee too. Abreu's 2 years, 40. So pretty similar. Abreu slightly more than Rizzo. That surprises me. I thought Rizzo would be more expensive. I would do either one of those, if I'm being completely honest. If I could get a two-year – roughly $20 million per year for either one of those guys, sign me up. I like the fact that they're not long-term deals, too. If I can get Rizzo for 2 years, $20 million, Jose Abreu at 2 years, $20 million each year, 40 combined, I would do that. Rizzo, I think, is 32, 33.
I thought he was like early 30s as opposed to Abreu. So, look, you could look at all the different numbers in the world, and you can calculate them.
Yeah, he'll be 33, Rizzo. Abreu's going to be 36.
I'm fine with either guy, but I lean Rizzo number one on my list because of all the intangibles, the fielding, and the power, because I think a little bit more power would help in this lineup, too. And if you add Michael Brantley in left field, you're not getting power. You're getting average.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good compliment.
It could be, that's a good point. I didn't really – whenever I was looking at their, you know, side-by-sides, I didn't really think about – the left fielder DH, because if you have a Brantley who's contact, not much power, maybe it makes more sense for like lineup diversity to have the power lower average for Abreu, who's more of a, he's a high contact guy. He doesn't walk as much as
and like
Rizzo,
I said,
actually.
Take the shift out, put him in a better lineup. Average, I'm not saying it will, but it may come up. Okay. And here's the ESPN projections have Abreu 2-46, 23 mil average.
Oof.
That's real. That's what I was looking at. So I thought that was extremely high.
23 a year.
Rizzo, 2-34, 17 a year.
So, yeah. So, both of the sites we looked at, it has Abreu from, like, what, a $20 to $23 million range, and Rizzo was, what, $17 to $19 million? I'm shocked that Rizzo would get paid more less than Abreu. I really am.
If you get Rizzo at 17 a year for a couple of years, I'm in.
Yeah. I mean, I would sign up both of those deals. I probably slightly lean Abreu because of the second rounder, the international money, but I wouldn't be mad at Abreu. Here is one thing. It's not a concern, but it's just kind of one thought I had whenever I saw this Anthony Rizzo news. I have a feeling that this is leaked from Anthony Rizzo's agents to put pressure on the New York Yankees. That, hey, I'm going to tell everybody that the Astros' top target is Anthony Rizzo. That way, Ken Rosenthal, because look, everybody's copy and pasting Ken Rosenthal's stuff today, just in the daily prep. MajorLeagueBaseball.com used Ken Rosenthal's stuff. Multiple other sites, like Bleacher Report, all this stuff, used Ken Rosenthal's report in The Athletic. So this has made, you know, nationwide headlines. The Astros' top target is Anthony Rizzo. If you're Anthony Rizzo's agent, wouldn't you leak that to Ken Rosenthal to turn the heat up on the Yankees, because the Yankees already want Anthony Rizzo back? If the fact is out there that he could go to the Houston Astros, don't you think that ratchets it up even more for the New York Yankees?
No question. I mean, I've seen Yankees Twitter accounts already losing their mind about the thought of Rizzo wearing an Astros uniform next year, which makes it even better. You didn't add that value to it. The fact that you're, you know, stealing from the Yankees and kind of giving them a taste of their own medicine and putting him on the Astros would be another sweet, significant detail as you add talk about who to add at first base. But look, there's no doubt about it. We've talked about posturing before using the media that we've talked about as it relates to all sports. Agents want to leak stories. Teams want to leak stories. Players and general managers leak stories. Daryl used to play the media every single time he had something he was working on to try and get leverage. So, yeah, it's quite conceivably that this is exactly that, but I would love to think that Rizzo's in their plans or at least their considerations for first base.
Give me Rizzo, give me Abreu, give me Josh Brantley. Bell, one of those three.
I'm saying in a combination platter. Yep. Give me Rizzo, give me Brantley. I got the two bats I need. I'm good.
Yeah, same. Yeah, I'd be happy with any of those three first basemen. I'd be happy with my Brantley DH/left field. 713-780-ESPN. Who do you prefer? Is it Rizzo? Is it Abreu? Is it Bell? 713-780-3776. Maybe not anymore, but it was chilly this morning in the 40s. We had a cool front come in. I think we have another one coming in like today or tomorrow as well.
I think it's still for the next 5 or 6 days. It'll be lows in the 40s, highs maybe getting to 60.
Yeah, yeah, right around their upper 50s. So it's soup season, I think. I think we love our soups. What's the best soup that exists? 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Well, you know what? I don't know if you're worried about what the best soup is or not like we are, but I can tell you who's the best at getting you more energy in your life on a daily basis and handling so many other daily issues that people are going through as they get older in life, and that's Apollo Men's Health. But both men and women, if you don't have enough energy from a day-to-day basis, Apollo can help. They have all the things from B12 shots to the different ways that they can do hormone therapy to get you more energy, to get more out of your day every single day. You're not trying to win a gold medal at this stage in your life. You're trying to win the day, and they can help. You want to get in the gym, get in a workout program, but you're worried about a lot of things, like making sure that you see you're making gains and results and making progress, even when the weights don't say that you are and you don't feel the same. Doing a full body composition analysis every couple of weeks can always monitor that and tell you, hey, your muscle mass is actually up. Your weight is actually down. Your body fat is actually down. Those are things that can motivate you to keep going. You can do that at Apollo Men's Health. You want to recover quicker from a tough workout? They have HGH peptide therapy, stuff for your smoothies, fat burners. They got that stuff too. Two locations to better serve you in your downtown Houston. The best way to get the process started, go to ApolloMH.com. When you're there, you can find out after you see some services and the fact that they can help you. Book a first appointment. Most major insurance is accepted. There's discounts for military personnel and first responders. Tell Dr. O and his staff, I sent you by. Free body composition analysis or B12 shot on that first official visit. Then let the process go from there. They're going to ask you tough questions and want to find out what you're trying to do. You tell them where you're lacking and what you would like to achieve. They're going to put you on a program that works, and they're always going to strive to get you results. They get results on a daily basis. They're good people doing great things. Go see the people at Apollo Men's Health.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Soup season, I think. Look, I eat soup in the summer. I'm nuts. I come in with my goddo like once a week. You guys know that.
Oh, that's
my shrimp
that's
fish soup.
An understatement. More than once
from
a
Golden
week.
Golden Seafood easily. Over there on Airline.
Easily a couple times a week.
And maybe they'll give me some free goddo now that I give them a free plug. Somebody texted in whenever I teased it, obviously. 713-780-ESPN. Somebody texted in and said gumbo. Are we counting gumbo as a soup?
I don't.
I don't either. I love gumbo. Gumbo would immediately jump to my top spot if we're talking about soups. I don't classify gumbo as
just
soup.
Just like growing up in the Midwest, stew would not count as a soup. It's a thicker, more of a meal-type substance than soup. Soup can be a meal, but I don't think by itself, soup was made as like a complement to other things.
See, a lot of people are asking us questions here, so it's good that we're laying down the parameters.
I have groundwork.
So no gumbo. No gumbo is not counting as a soup. What was yours?
So my answer is a hard no on this, but it's actually an argument that my friend group had recently. Chili.
See, somebody asked us about chili, too. Chili's 6002. I don't think it's a soup.
I'm a no on that as well.
Yeah, so we've ruled out gumbo. We've ruled out
stock
chili.
Stock substance is the key, I think.
Okay.
The stock of like a chili is a thicker type overall than just like a broth or a soup. I think the stock, because it's a really thick liquid.
Okay.
I think that's where I would draw the line with gumbo and with chili.
0271 says, does menudo count? I would
they
count
menudo.
They were
that menudo. Boy band back in the 80s? Oh.
they were, yes. Both things okay. are true. Menudo is more of that Spanish breakfast soup that's fantastic whenever you're hungover. That's got the hominy in it. It's got the
Harmony
stomach.
For menudo?
Okay. And it's got the stomach lining of a cow in it as well. That's
okay.
the meat. Yeah,
ooh.
So menudo, I love menudo. Menudo's very good. I would count that. So 713-780-ESPN. Robert Griffin III posted like this pictures of soup. You've seen the things on Twitter. Like pick your favorite one of this list of nine. But we can just basically have the question. What's the best soup? What is the soup that you think is the very, very best?
So I've mentioned this before, but growing up in the Midwest, soup's a massive deal. In my house, between my mom and my grandma, who literally would make a different soup. My dad was a soup connoisseur. So both women trying to keep my dad happy by going to his belly were constantly making soups. And so I saw all the different, I'm not a split pea soup guy.
Well, I like split pea.
Eh. I'm not like broccoli and cheese.
Oh,
type
I like
guy.
That too. It's hard for me to find a soup I do not like.
My family was big on vegetable soup.
Terrific.
Beef vegetable.
Awesome.
Jeremy's answer to this question is yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
It is. Yes, all of them.
My go-to number one soup has been and always will be a really good chicken noodle with the real chicken breast pieces and the really thick noodles. And then I like to ground up almost a whole bag of saltines and get it even thicker.
Okay.
But yeah, big on the chicken noodle soup is my favorite.
I like chicken noodle soup. It would have a tough time cracking my top 10. If wow. I'm being honest, I love chicken noodle.
Wow.
Chicken noodle is very good. Look, that shrimp fish godlet that I get once every other week,
mm-hmm.
top of the list.
Twice a week.
It also depends on my mood. Like, it depends on how I feel.
See,
like,
I think chicken soup gets crapped on because it's a get well soon soup.
Sure, it is. It pretty
and
much
I
is.
Think so. People look at it and go, nah, I don't like that because I always eat it when I'm sick.
Uh huh. Yeah, I think that, yeah, but I still enjoy it. But mm-hmm. I probably do eat it more whenever I'm sick. Whenever I'm sick, little Asian city in Humble, their wonton soup, fantastic. They have shrimp in their wonton soup
is really good.
But it's like an additive. Like, it's an addition to the normal wonton soup. I like a good clam chowder. I like a good lobster bisque.
But I would consider chowder in the same boat as...
Ooh.
I think chowder is like chili Ooh. And like gumbo.
Ooh, I would disagree
Brendan,
on that.
Where are you?
So this also came up in my debate with chili. I count it. There were some people who didn't.
You count it as a soup?
Absolutely, it's a soup.
Because clam chowder is really good. I just thought that that was more this, like a meal, like chili.
Absolutely,
and this might be a dumb question, and I do see like where Joel draws his line, and
tortilla
I follow
soup?
It.
Soup?
I knew you were going to say it.
Does Campbell's make a chili?
I don't think
no, I don't think that they do. The most popular canned chili is probably like, what was it, Hormel?
Yep.
I'm familiar with them. Yep. I ask because I think in my head, if Campbell's makes it, it's a soup.
Oh, and they do make a chowder.
That's a good barometer.
They do make a chowder.
Good barometer.
I had a crab chowder in Maryland the other day for the first time to die for. It was unbelievable, splendid, outstanding. I'm having a tough time picking my favorite. My favorite.
Well, I need you have 10 that are
someday,
over chicken noodle.
Someday,
I can't believe that.
Wonton is above chicken noodle. Pho is above chicken noodle. Give me a clam chowder. Give me a lobster bisque. Give me a crab chowder, apparently. Give me a broccoli chowder. I'll take French onion over chicken noodle.
Tortilla
soup over chicken noodle. I'm at 8. Oh, man. Maybe I can't quite get to 10, but it's pretty close to 10. My absolute favorite. Oh, it's so hard for me to answer. You went chicken noodle. What are you going here, Brendan? I need time. I need you to fill the bus
broccoli
for me.
Broccoli cheddar.
Broccoli cheddar is your favorite?
Yeah.
Favorite?
Was that crazy?
Yeah. I think it
Why?
Is. I love broccoli cheddar. But it's broccoli cheddar wouldn't be my top 5.
I'd go chicken and dumplings. I would go
chicken and dumpling.
Noodle.
Add that one over chicken noodle. So I have 8 right now above chicken noodle.
Chicken noodle for me is good.
I go
it's
lentil.
Just a little too basic.
Oh,
I go lentil
no.
over chicken noodle. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's disgraceful.
I go lentil over chicken noodle.
Oh, that's disgraceful.
So I have 9 above chicken noodle. I'm having a very tough time coming up with my 10th one, though. My absolute favorite, man, that's so hard for me.
You've gotten to the lead-in several times, but you can't finish the deal.
That crab,
tell us what your damn favorite soup
that
is.
That crab chowder I had in Maryland was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. It's hard for me to not go with crab chowder, but it might be some recency bias here because I just had it. My wife just texted and said tomato basil from La Madeline. I don't love tomato basil as much as my wife and my son
I love tomato soup.
Do you?
Yeah. Tomato soup and a grilled cheese.
That is really,
really good.
Good.
I think
really
tomato
good,
soup's
not,
a bottom-tier soup.
It's not cracking. I think so, too, actually. I think I like
tomato
it.
Soup is a bottom two.
Yeah.
Bottom tier.
I agree with that.
Where are you on? He put split pea in his top 10.
Beef vegetable above chicken noodle too. I got 10.
I got
10 above chicken
beef
noodle.
Beef vegetable is up there, but with me, but it is definitely not above chicken noodle.
My favorite might be that supreme wonton at Asian City. It is fantastic. That might be my favorite. But a good chicken pho? Oh, it's so hard.
Are you okay, Jeremy?
Yeah, it's really, so seriously. This is like the most animated you've been in quite a while.
I can't make a tortilla soup, too.
There's a chicken shrimp soup.
I've never had a chicken shrimp.
Oh, chicken and shrimp. And there's a couple of Chinese restaurants that do it. Chicken shrimp. Rice and some vegetables.
Oh,
that's really
you
good.
You have to let me know where that's
yeah,
at.
Yeah, that's really good.
I'm going to go with my nana's chicken godlet, homemade chicken godlet. Whenever she puts that together, it is fantastic. So that's going to be at the top of my list, my chicken godlet.
See, I know every food is this way, so maybe this is a dumb thing to say, but I feel like it's so tough, too, when you're comparing homemade versus just, like, out of a can.
Yeah.
Because, like, I've never had – there's no – chicken noodle soup that I'm getting out of a can that comes anywhere near the top of my list.
No, it's got to be like homemade.
But a homemade
or
chicken noodle
made.
Soup is pretty damn good.
It is really good. Like I potato soup. You get a little baked potato soup, King of Twitch. That's another really good one.
But if you go baked potato soup with bacon in the soup, that's really, really good.
Yeah,
maybe add some cheese.
Add that to my top 10. Poncho and like half of my family, the Mexican side, is going to be upset that I said chicken godlet, not godlet de pollo. But I'm going to go with my nana's godlet de pollo. But baked potato soup's in the mix. Pho's in the mix. Wonton's in the mix. I don't know if I put Manuel that high. The Manuel sometimes is kind of hit or miss for me. Like, it's probably ahead of chicken noodle, but probably in the bottom half of the top 10, not the top half of the top 10. Big C said crab and corn bisque. Pretty good. You have a little lobster bisque, a little crawfish bisque sometimes?
Yeah, lobster for sure.
Oh, man. Battery Chuck says tomato basil. Where do you stand on French onion? Because I like a French onion every now and then, but not high volume.
I don't like it when the restaurant has that number one on their list of soups they're serving. I mean, sometimes you're right. There's every so often, like if you're at a steakhouse, that a French onion soup to kind of start the meal off is a nice touch. But I'm not a big go-to, and I'm a big onion guy, but I'm not a big just onion soup guy.
Yeah. In general, I think I'm like the opposite of Jeremy. I don't like soup's fine. It's whatever. I'm certainly not as passionate about it as Jeremy.
I could eat it for every meal of my life.
French onion's fine. I mean, I'm not like looking forward to a French onion soup.
0754 says spicy shrimp ramen. One thing that I have not dabbled in as much as I would like to dabble in is like top end ramen. I've failed in
ramen,
that area.
Ramen with the shrimp or the crab or the chicken is high up there for me because I like that combination of the noodle with the good broth.
Oh, man. I'm hungry. I'm going to find some good soup. Send us the best soup you can find in the city. I might go there today. 713-780-ESPN. By the way, a lot of people are texting in saying that Campbell's Chunky Chili does exist, Brendan, if you're looking for something at the supermarket.
Wait,
today.
Did no one say sirloin burger?
No. No
Chunky one said sirloin burger is a quality soup.
Yeah.
That was a go-to from the time I was a kid, even in college. Campbell's Chunky Sirloin Burger is a quality soup.
4624 said broccoli and cauliflower soup. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind that with a little, like, instead of just cheese and broccoli, throw a little cauliflower into that as well. Mm-hmm. That sounds game-changing to me, because I like cauliflower.
Maybe change your shorts, too, because that sounds like there's a lot of possibilities with both broccoli and cauliflower.
Why do you think broccoli and cauliflower is like God. Beans?
No, broccoli and cauliflower are extremely gassy.
I don't get gassy with broccoli and cauliflower.
Really?
No, I have it like every day for lunch. Y'all see me every day for lunch.
Broccoli and cauliflower.
I have it in my salad every day.
In my family, my kids, everything. Broccoli will set off a firestorm of gaseous.
Brad Kellner just texted us.
Gaseous clay.
He just texted our show and he said, soup sucks. You guys are all wrong. Brad Kellner literally makes chicken soup every single day. He has chicken, not marinated, but boiling in his water. Like he's making a broth literally more than any of us. And he doesn't like soup. How is that possible?
Yeah, how do you text us soup sucks from a guy that weighs 125 pounds wet?
And he eats broiled chicken.
And he eats nothing but fast food. I mean, his food.
Oh, that was Brad, not AC. My bad.
I was like, wait, what?
I thought that was AC for some reason. I don't know why
you
I thought
BK
that.
You said BK, too.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, BK said, so I can understand why BK would say that and not AC. My bad. 713-780-ESPN. We'll talk to Will Houseman. Maybe it'll be BK. We'll see.
AC's idea of soup is boiled chicken with the water still in with a little white rice.
That was bad by me. I don't know what I was thinking. Also, college football rankings coming out tonight. What are our college football rankings entering the release of the college football committee this evening? 713-780-ESPN, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, and ESPN 92.5. I think I just showcased my love for soup. All of those soups fell whenever you stack it up next to Gentle Ben. Give me Gentle Ben way, way more over all those other soups. The vodka, better. The gin, better. The bourbon, better. All of them part of the rotation for me in a local Texas brand. Gentle Ben Spirits does it better than anybody else. Why? Well, they have their innovative, state-of-the-art Percedo craft technology that takes all the purities out of the alcohol. It's better in aroma, it's better in purity, it's better in taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Purification of Gentle Ben, unrivaled. Try a sip of Gentle Ben, compare it to your brand, you're going to taste the huge difference that I did when I went out to the tasting room in Alvin, thanks to Ricky Ford, owner of Gentle Ben Spirits. A&M Cuss of 85, by the way. Ever since that day, I've been a Gentle Ben man, and I think that you know that. It is smooth, it is clean, it eliminates the burn. Enjoy your drink, don't work through your drink. You can find the Gentle Ben Vodka and Gin at Total Wine and Specs. You already know that. Also online at gentleben.com. But a few weeks ago, the bourbon has hit the market. You can find it at 10 different Specs locations around Houston. You can find it at Longhorn Liquor in Mount Bellevue, Specs in Galveston, SKO Liquor in Pearland, Potter's Liquor in Friendswood. Find the bourbon. You will not be disappointed. Double platinum winner in the prestigious Ascot Awards this year. How about if you're going to a Rockets game? Stop by the Gentle Ben Bar on the main concourse inside the Toyota Center and try the Gentle Ben Vodka, Gin, Bourbon, whatever you want it to be. Sit back with good company and raise a glass to the very best. Gentle Ben, the union of tradition and invention.
Independent thinking, Unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Hey, back on the Bees. Before we get anything else, I brought in a model today for the people that I'm about to speak for. Doc Linville. Doc Linville and his staff do a phenomenal job. And if you don't believe me, then you should see the fire red hair of one Jake Asman and realize that Doc Linville is a difference maker. He makes even the remotely sexy just absolutely stunning with the way he can handle a hairline. And the fact that Doc Linville has helped me, he has helped Jake, John Granato, Fred Fowler, and so many others, you should be next in line to see Doc Linville. And because you're an ESPN listener, you get a deal that they don't offer to just anybody. Instead of a consultation that normally costs $150, you get it for absolutely free by going to 975hair.com. Ask all the questions. Figure out what we did, which is this isn't something to mask the problem like sprays and creams and foams. This is a solution by using your own hair where you're never going to lose it. Genetically, you're always going to have it in the sides and the back and moving it to where you need it most. You might have that baboon's butt shining in the back of your head, or you might have a forehead that's turned into an 8-head. Now you can get it back and have your confidence and your personal appearance back where you want it to be. Check out Doc Linville today. Go to 975hair.com.
Everybody is sitting in their favorite soups. I'm going to try to find some later. 6927 said that's why BK sounds like he's dying on the radio. Eats like crap, by the way. Doesn't like soup. He likes two dinners that are fast food. Jake Almas called you Brad Kellner. I'm having a tough time with the wheelhouse today. Jake Asman is hanging out with us. Good to see you, Jake. It looks like you're coaching the Jets. Like a cold day up in New Jersey, looks like you'd be the head coach of the Jets. You're like the Al Davis version of whoever that is with the New York Jets right now.
I'd prefer Bill Parcells than Rich Kotite.
Is that leather?
Oh, it's leather, right?
A little leather Jets jacket. If you're not watching on Twitch, he's wearing a black leather Jets jacket with the Jets and green across the chest. And he's got the green and white ribbon stripe.
That's pleather.
That's pleather?
I don't know. Pleather, leather.
Yeah, that's more satin.
Does it bother you that I'm rubbing your jacket?
That's more satin than leather. That's what your underwear
you can rub me anytime.
Have you ever seen Seinfeld where George Costanza does it in the elevator?
Of course. Of course. Great episode.
Was it Al Groh?
Al Groh coached the Jets for 1 year.
And then he went to Virginia, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I like that jacket. That's a good looking jacket.
It's a throwback.
Yeah. Do the Texans have anything like that?
Do the
Probably not, right?
Well,
Paulie had one on today.
Did he?
Paulie had a Texans starter jacket on today.
I didn't notice it.
He's
must not have liked it.
This is what I.
Well, the Texans were in existence when starter jackets were big, but Paulie found it. Not shocking, he found a Texas starter jacket.
They're making a comeback starter. I feel like they're on the rise right now.
Jeremy Payne at the Rockets game last night had
sharp.
A version of this, but he had the old pajama logo Rocket, the big red basketball with the Rocket circling it.
It looks sharp.
It was a good looking jacket.
We're going to ask you, Jake, about your favorite soups in a minute, but I got to ask you a pressing question. How do you feel about Paul Gallant's fandom?
I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I just like he's a Patriot fan and I believe a Celtic fan while also
believe it strongly.
He abandoned the Red Sox, who have won 4 championships since 2004, to root for
the
Astros.
And the Mariners.
He wears a child medium sized Larry Bird jersey on occasion.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, to me, fandom, you have to pick a team and you stick with your team.
No doubt.
If you're going to root for a team in a different city, there has to be some sort of connection. Like, maybe your family is from that area and they pass that fandom down to you. He just abandoned the Red Sox and they've been the most successful team in baseball over the last 20 years from a championship.
But he can't let go of other teams, which is also puzzling. He sews 2 jerseys together for 2 teams not named the Red Sox.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's all over the place with his fandom. I love the man, but I just don't understand it.
He likes nearly half of the American League West.
Yeah.
With the Astros and the Mariners. Now,
what fandom does he have with Jake?
I don't know if he's a big fan of Jake.
Oh.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I can't say. I can neither confirm or deny. Oh. I really have no idea.
I think we are friends. I just questioned his fandom.
You guys
I
are travel buddies. You are partiers on the road.
Yeah. Look, Paul's a good guy. I've known Paul a long time. I was friendly with him when he worked at the competition down the street.
Which is called the Highway to Hell.
You know, I don't think I've ever been in the same room with Jake Asman and Paul Gallant, now that I think about it. Like, I know y'all have been together at the same time. I don't think I've ever seen y'all together at the same time.
Would you say...
Y'all might be the same guy, for all I know.
Apparently, we now have a rivalry, according to you. Would you say it's a bigger rivalry than you versus Cody Stutes?
I love Cody.
There's
no
bigger rivalry on this station than Jeremy Branham versus Cody
Stutes. I think
Stutes.
Cody likes to make a rivalry with me because I understand it from a clout perspective why he would want to do that. I don't see Cody as a rivalry at all.
I don't know. I get a sense that it's like Ohio State versus Michigan. Yeah.
I mean,
you know, Yankees, Red Sox.
It's more Michigan,
that's
Michigan
like Texas
State.
Texas fans like, saying if we're that they have a rivalry with the Cowboys, and Cowboys fans going, we don't think so.
We're a little busy. We got the NFC East. We got all these other teams. Yeah, that's true.
What was I going to say to you? Your connection to like, because like you're interesting because you're like a Yankee fan and you come to Houston, which like the Astros are the biggest Yankee rival, but you have a connection to the city. I mean, you follow the Astros every single day. You watch more Astros than like anybody else. Like,
whoa,
what is that feeling
almost
like?
Almost anybody else.
Like, what's that? What is that like?
It's an interesting dynamic for sure. But
because your fan base hates them.
Yeah, but I think I have a very unique perspective because I was here before the cheating scandal. You know what I mean? Like, I've been here since, you know, July of 2018. So, like, I just have always followed the Astros because that's been the job since I moved down here. Before, like, Yankee-Astros became a rivalry. The rivalry became a rivalry because of the cheating scandal.
Yeah, it was after 19.
It was after 2019 when the scandal was released. So, like, the Yankees and Astros were rivals because they met in the playoffs in 17. But I was going to say,
but the rivalry started in 17 with a good series and you know, two loaded teams, and then it continued on, and then it just was the fuel to the fire was the scandal.
Yeah, the 2017 Yankees were ahead of schedule. Like that team was picked by many to come in last in their own division. They won 91 games that year and had this remarkable run. It was really after that it was like, all right, the expectations are now – you got to win the whole thing, and the Astros have been the thorn in their side.
Yeah. So do you hate the Astros now?
I mean, I don't really hate them. I don't root for them, per se, but like, I feel like I could talk about them fairly.
No, you do. You do. You talk about them. I think that you're incredibly fair about the Astros, especially with that perspective. 713-780-ESPN is Jake Hick, the Astros. Just kidding. What's your favorite soup? We were just talking about that.
Oh, good one. Either tomato soup or matzo ball soup.
Matzo ball soup was an interesting one.
The matzo ball.
Right.
That sounds like a very New York thing to say. Have you had the tomato soup at La Madeline?
Ooh, it's good.
I have not.
That's the best one.
Oh, yes, it's very good.
What
you got to
try the best one.
They're just better at it than anybody else. Kind of like Gentle Ben with their whiskey, gin, and bourbon.
Texture.
Well, if you're going to go for whiskey, I'd recommend a little Bushmills Irish whiskey, personally.
Got a little whiskey rivalry brewing here.
Jake and Paul, Red Bush, battle it out.
If you like tomato soup, you got to get La Madeline's.
He's right. He's absolutely right.
You can actually get it, I think, at HEB's. You can buy it.
Right?
Now, I would recommend going into the La Madeline, the French Cafe, having it there.
Yep.
You get some bread, I think, with it, too. It's a good, like, I don't love tomato soup, but from La Madeline, I enjoy it.
Do you consider soup a meal? Did you guys debate this?
Oh, absolutely. I eat a lot of it.
It's a compliment to a meal. I think where the difference where I draw the line is people asking about gumbos and chilies and chowders. I think those are meals by themselves.
Yeah.
So that's why I'd say they're not soups.
Yeah, the straight up soup I don't think is a meal. That's my hot take.
Oh, I eat soups for meals all the time. I don't.
You're probably very hungry afterwards.
No, you just eat
a lot of it. It's not a full meal.
You eat three or four bowls.
My dad loves soup,
about?
And that's what he did. He just ate a couple of bowls.
I mean, if you're telling me if it's unlimited soup, that'd be one thing. But like the standard soup you get in
crackers,
a restaurant.
Bread, it all fills you up.
Now, I do it more for lunch than dinner, if I'm being completely honest. But you just eat more of it. Now, if you go to like a really nice dinner, like you know, you're with people, you're having a nice dinner, you get a nice chowder before your filet. Oof, really good.
That's what I said, yeah.
Yeah.
When you're getting to a nice steakhouse, or you're going to get French onion, or you're going to get a really good complimentary soup.
College football playoff coming out tonight. I put together my top four, and usually, you know, one of you Wilhousemen will just crush it. I think it's pretty easy doing it right now for the top four. Georgia's your clear-cut number one. I have Ohio State, Michigan 2-3. I really wanted, for the sake of controversy, to move TCU ahead of them because, like, they have more ranked wins, that sort of thing. But I'm fine putting TCU at number four for now. Ohio State and Michigan are going to play. I think where it does get interesting, though, is, like, what happens in the SEC if Georgia either wins it all, loses, and then you have Ohio State, Michigan, they're going to have to lose one game. I think it could get tricky, like 3-4, once the season's over. But tonight, the committee's job is easy.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer to me. I think you nailed it. I mean, you go with the teams that's track record and resume say that they deserve to be there, and thankfully, you've got all the teams right now that pretty clear-cut deserve to be there.
It does feel like it's a very easy
tonight
decision.
Tonight it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're still going to take forever to unveil it, though.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, they're going to spend 10 minutes.
Six commercials, 23 segments.
Isn't tonight the one that they're doing it between the two college basketball games, too?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, so
they normally do it from the venue.
Yeah, and Michigan State, Kansas.
Is it at the Garden tonight? I feel like they always play that.
I think you're right.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, because they do from the Garden, between games, they have a separate desk set up, and that's where they do it.
Pretty cool night if you like college sports. What's coming up on the Wheelhouse today?
We're going to be talking plenty about the Houston Astros, Anthony Rizzo, a potential target for them. We'll dive into that Jeff Passan front office story that came out today. And if you're the Texans, would you rather have Jeff Saturday right now or Lovie Smith as your head coach?
Good luck with that conversation, guys. All right, Brendan, he does all the hard work. Thank you for that. He's Blank. I'm Branham. The Wheelhouse is coming up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston.